الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو، عالم الغيب والشهادة، هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو، الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور، له الأسماء الحسنى، يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض، وهو العزيز الحكيم. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله on the most precious gift of Iman, the perfect and pure teachings of Islam, and this honor of being associated and linked in muhabbat, emulation and obedience to that personality and being who is the most beloved to Allah Ta'ala in His entire creation, the most virtuous, the most lofty in the entire creation of Allah Ta'ala, our most beloved, Al-Habib Al-Mustafa, Sayyiduna Muhammadun Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And one of the great means of guarding, protecting our Iman, which is the most precious gift that we enjoy, is to continuously make shukr to Allah for this favor. By means of the tongues, regularly praise Allah, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lil Islam. Possibly, if we can, take out time daily, 2 rakats of salah, of shukr, of gratitude for the great and precious gift of Iman, its manifestation in the pure teachings of the deen of Islam, as demonstrated by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then conveyed most trustworthily from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Ummah by that very special group of personalities, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. It was not a coincidence that they were around Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu azza wa jal looked into the hearts of humanity. The Anbiya alayhim as-salam, Allah Ta'ala's messengers, were the purest, and Allah chose them to be conveyors of His word. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala cast a gaze into the hearts of humanity, and those whose hearts were the most pure of all human beings, Allah selected and chose them specifically to be the companions around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba radiyallahu anhu ajma'in. That is why Allah Ta'ala declares emphatically, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ. Allah Ta'ala is absolutely pleased and happy with them. وَرَضُوا عَنْ. They are pleased with Allah Ta'ala. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ. Allah has already prepared for them the abodes in Jannah. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. And therefore, in the commentary of this verse, one of the greatest commentators, Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullah Ta'ala, makes a very telling comment. That what relation, ما لهؤلاء من الإيمان, what relation do these people have with Iman, who condemn, criticize, curse, revile, harbor ill feelings towards Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, the very group of people whom Allah declares that He is pleased with them. What relation does that person have with Iman, who reviles and criticizes the very same? May Allah protect our tongues and hearts. So making shukr to Allah Ta'ala for Iman is one of the means of guaranteeing the protection of Iman. For indeed Allah's promise, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you express gratitude, not only will I retain, but I will most certainly increase you in abundance in those favors. The verses I had recited at the beginning, and especially in the manner recited, they have great virtues, immense benefits. So these are the three concluding ayat and verses of Surah Al-Hashr in the 28th para, 28th juz of the Quran Kareem. In the local print, they can be found on the 10th page of the 28th para of the Quran Kareem. The concluding verses of Surah Al-Hashr, Sayyidina Ma'qil bin Yasar radiyallahu ta'ala narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on occasion said, Man qala hina yusbihu thalatha marratin. Whomsoever in the morning says three times the following, A'udhu billahi as-sami'il alim min ash-shaytanir rajim. They are the words of seeking Allah's protection, Allah the all-hearing, the all-knowledgeable, from shaitan, the rejected one. And we are commanded whenever we read Quran to seek protection in Allah from shaitan, the rejected one. So the more famous words that we commonly read, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. This is a variation of similar words, A'udhu billahi as-sami'il alim min ash-shaytanir rajim. So whomsoever says these words three times and thereafter recites once the concluding verses of Surah Al-Hashr from Huwallahu alladhi to the end of the surah, Subhanallah, look at what a great benefit comes to a person. Wakkalallahu bihi sab'ina alf malakin yusalluna alayh. Allahu Azza wa Jal deputes 70,000 angels who continuously beg Allah's mercy for that person throughout the entire day. And this continues hatta yumsiya, right till the evening time. Wa in mata fi dhalika al-yawm mata shahidan. And if that person happens to pass away during that day, after having read this in the morning, subhanallah, then the death is recorded as one of a shaheed, of a martyr. And whomsoever, وَمَنْ قَالَهَا حِينَ يُمْسِي كَانَ بِتِلْكَ الْمَنْزِلَةِ. And whomsoever does so in the evening will gain the same, will be of the same status, will gain the same reward. And this hadith is in the collection, رَوَاهُ التِّرْمِذِي, in the Tirmidhi Sharif. So to summarize the benefit, whomsoever says, A'udhu billahi as-sami'il alim min ash-shaytanir rajim thrice in the morning, and thereafter, huwallahu alladhi to the ending, two benefits. 70,000 angels make dua the entire day for that person. So one of our pious elders, Hazrat Abdul Hamid Sahib, hafidhahullah, says it so beautifully, that try and read this in the early part of the morning, so you get the angels working for you as early as possible, and as early as possible in the evening, maybe if possible, between Maghrib Adhan and Maghrib Jamaat, if time allows, if not, then immediately after Maghrib, inshallah. So you get 70,000 angels continuously making dua for that person's mercy. And second benefit, if that person passes away during that day, then the death is recorded as one as martyrdom. That person is counted as a shaheed. Whomsoever does so in the evening, the same benefit, 70,000 angels throughout the night make dua of mercy for that person. And if that person happens to die that night, then that is a death of shahada. So we see the immense virtues and benefits, and why should it not be so? These verses again speak exclusively about Allah Ta'ala, His amazing attributes, His qualities, His most beautiful names. So to look at a literal translation of this verse, of these verses, Allah Azza wa Jal says, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is Allah. And who is Allah? That great being that there is none worthy of worship besides Him alone. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. The one who is the knower, the knowledgeable of the unseen as well as the seen, the invisible and the visible are known to Him. هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah Ta'ala is that being who is profusely and abundantly merciful, as well as Rahim, perpetually and continuously merciful. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو. Once again Allah says, emphasizing He is Allah. And who is Allah? That great being, none worthy of worship besides Him. Al-Malik, the one who is the King, the Sovereign. Al-Quddus, the one who is absolutely pure. As-Salam, pure from all defects and the giver of peace. Al-Mu'min, the one who is the giver of safety and security. And the one who verifies the truthfulness of his messengers and his obedient servants. Al-Muhaymin, the one who is the guardian, the overseer, the protector. Al-Aziz, the overpowering, whom none can compel and overpower. Al-Jabbar, the one who is absolutely dominant and the one who benefits his creation by rectifying that which is broken, by rectifying situations. Al-Mutakabbir, the Lord of all forms of greatness, the Lord of all forms of greatness. Subhanallah amma yushrikun. Allah Azza wa Jalla is pure, absolutely pure from all of those things that they ascribe as a partner unto Allah Ta'ala. Allah is pure of any such kind of partnership and deficiencies. Huwallah, He is that very same Allah, Al-Khaliq, who is the creator of everything in existence. Al-Bari', the inventor, the originator, the one who has brought every single thing into existence from nothing. Al-Musawwir, the amazing creator and maker of various shapes. Lahul Asma'ul Husna, to Allah alone belongs all the most beautiful names. Yusabbihu lahu ma fi samawati wal ard. Everything, whether in the skies or in the earth, continuously glorifies, mentions the purity of Allah Ta'ala, mention His tasbih. And finally Allah says, wa huwa al-azizul hakim. Allah alone is the one who is the overpowering, the almighty, and the one who is absolutely and perpetually wise. So we see that these verses exclusively dedicated to the attributes and the great qualities of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Ta'ala says at another juncture in the Quran Azim, in a very important directive as far as these attributes and names of Allah Ta'ala is concerned, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. To Allah alone belongs the most beautiful names. So we call unto Allah, فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah says, address Allah by those beautiful names. Supplicate unto Allah Ta'ala via the means of these beautiful names of Allah Ta'ala. One hadith, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam elaborates it further. Inna lillahi tis'ata wa tis'ina isma. Allah has 99 beautiful names. And they're recorded in the book of Tirmidhi, the very famous. We know the 99 names of Allah Ta'ala. Let us try and read them regularly, commit to memory, encourage our children, guide them towards memorizing these beautiful names of Allah Ta'ala. For indeed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says Allah Ta'ala has his 99 beautiful names. The other names of Allah Ta'ala mentioned in other narrations at other parts, but important that when we name Allah or supplicate unto Him, then we do so with the name of Allah Ta'ala that is authentically mentioned as one of the great names of Allah Ta'ala. So in this narration, Allah has 99 beautiful names. Man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that person who commits these names to memory is guaranteed entry into Jannah. So we call unto Allah by this name. Sometimes we have specific needs, necessities, our general du'as also. We precede that sometimes by, if we know, then read from by heart. If not, then read from the kitabs in which these 99 names are found. Take those names of Allah Ta'ala, thereafter read Durood Sharif, and ask for our needs and necessities. They will be very speedily answered through the barakat of these names. Similarly, as a means of supplicating unto Allah, names that have a meaning that is specific to our need and necessity. So when we do those, and also generally, so one is we read all the names of Allah as mentioned, and sometimes when we address and we speak to Allah, we attach to it Ya, the Lam or the Alif Lam at the beginning falls away. So for example, we say Ya Rahmanu or Ya Rahman, Ya Rahimu or Ya Rahim, Ya Mu'minu, Ya Salamu, Ya Azizu, Ya Jabbaru, Ya Mutakabbir. We listen to the meanings, and whatever that necessity is specific to the meanings, we ask Allah for His abundant mercy. Ya Rahman, forgive, have Your special mercy upon me. Shower me with Your mercies perpetually. Never deprive me of Your mercy, even for a split second, even for a blink of an eye. Month of Ramadan coming. So let us access these beautiful names and supplicate to Allah. Ya Ghaffar, or the one who is abundantly forgiving. Ya Ghafoor, the one who forgives abundantly and perpetually. Forgive me my past sins. A person may be living in great fear and worry and concern. Ya Mu'minu, or Ya Salamu, or the giver of peace, the giver of safety and security. So we attach the word Ya, the Alif Lam then falls away, and we can say either Ya Rahmanu or Ya Rahman, and thereafter make dua specific to that need, necessity, or general duas. So this is the means of using these names in making dua. So Allah Azza wa Jal, we look at these beautiful names mentioned at this juncture and the great meanings that they convey. So Allah Ta'ala says, firstly, Huwa Allah, He is Allah. As mentioned numerous times, that this is the greatest of all Allah's names. His personal name is known as Ismul Dhat. The meaning of Allah, once again, that being who is the possessor of all qualities of perfection and who is free of any kind of deficiency and blemish. The one who is the sole nourisher, sustainer of his entire creation. The one who in reality and earnest is the only one worthy of worship. So that is Allah. And who is Allah? Alladhi la ilaha illa hu. That Allah, that there is none worthy of worship. Nobody worthy of worshipping except Him only. And only He is worthy of all forms of worship. Tawheed. Emphasize in what we know as the fourth kalima. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدِ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. We try and read these words abundantly. Mubarak habit of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to read these words at least once after every salah, as well as specific virtue in reading this fourth kalima. لَا إِلَهِ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَا لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدِ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Known as kalima tawheed. To read them 10 times after Fajr, this is greatly emphasized. And some narrations also speak about reading them 10 times after Maghrib. So after every Salah, once at least, after Fajr and Maghrib, we read them 10 times. Many virtues have been mentioned. The name that follows thereafter, Al-Malik, the one who is the king, the one who is the sovereign, the one who is in control of everything and there is nobody superior and above Allah Ta'ala. Al-Quddus, such a beautiful meaning. The origins of this word in Arabic, Qadas, means a means of purification. So in this presentation, Quddus, it means the one who is absolutely pure of any kind of weakness, blemish, deficiency, inappropriate actions or mannerisms. So Allah is the one who is absolutely pure of any kind of blemish or weakness or deficiency. The Malaika, the angels, praise Allah in these words, Subbuhan Quddus, Rabbul Malaikati wal Ruh. So Al-Quddus, the one who is absolutely pure. As-Salam, one meaning is the one who is safe and secure from any blemishes, weaknesses, deficiencies. And when this quality pertains to being extended to Allah's creation, then Salam means Allah is the giver of peace. Allah Ta'ala is the giver of peace. So when we have this worry and concern of peace of mind, maybe some specific anxiety, and this is one of the names of Allah that we read abundantly. Maybe a person has been diagnosed with a severe illness, Ya Salam, which means, oh, the giver of peace. The one that follows thereafter, Al-Mu'min, the one who gives safety and security. Now we know this word Mu'min, when it applies to a human being, to a it means the sincere believer in Allah. But when it pertains to Allah, what does it mean? Allah is the giver. Allah Azza wa Jal is the giver of safety and security. So highly effective to read at the time of fear, anxiety and worry. Now the meaning of Al-Mu'min, that Allah is that great being who supports and verifies His beloved servants, the Anbiya alayhimus salam, by means of mu'jizas and miracles, by His open help coming to them at the time of most dire need, as it does to His other believing and pious servants. So Allah is the one who verifies as truthful by means of miracles, by means of His assistance. Sometimes when all odds are stacked against them, the Battle of Badr, classic example. So Allah Ta'ala is the giver of safety and security, the one who manifests the truthfulness of His messengers, believing pious servants. Al-Muhaymin. This is such a beautiful name, the guardian, the protector. So if you want to make dua and seek Allah's protection by this name, we say, Ya Muhaymino. So Allah is the one who is the overseer, the guardian, the protector. Al-Aziz, which means the one who is the Almighty. Alladhi la yu'jizuhu shay. That Almighty, that supreme being that nothing can ever overpower Him and compel Him into anything. Al-Jabbar. Now here again, such a beautiful name. Jabbar means the one who is of absolute dominance. Allah Ta'ala is the one of absolute dominance. He compels His entire creation to His will. Nobody can ever compel Allah Ta'ala into anything. Another meaning, second meaning of Jabbar, means the one who rectifies broken matters and affairs. So when we seek help in our distress, in our difficulties, maybe specific problematic situations, financial constraints, maybe break in ties in families. So Ya Jabbar, O the one who rectifies broken matters and sees to needs and necessities. Al-Mutakabbir, the possessor of total greatness, the Lord of all forms of greatness. Greatness, Kibr or Kibriya, belongs to Allah alone. So these two qualities, especially Jabbar and Mutakabbir, when attributed to Allah, it is highly praiseworthy. And these are qualities that are considered undesirable, in fact, very detrimental towards, if it is attributed towards a human being. So to say a human being is one who tries to compel everyone in everything to his will, does not submit, is not humble, then it is a dislikable quality. Similarly, the Lord of greatness and pride is Allah alone. In fact, Allah Ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi that pride, greatness is Allah's special quality. Whomsoever tries to snatch that and adorn himself with it, in other words, if a human displays pride, arrogance, haughtiness, then Allah Ta'ala dislikes that quality immensely. Allah Ta'ala humiliates and degrades such a person. In fact, that person who has just one iota, one atom's weight of pride, will be deprived of initial and early entry into Jannah if that person had Iman. So this quality of humility is one that Allah loves abundantly, that Allah who is Al-Mutakabbir, the possessor of all forms of greatness, the sole Lord of greatness is Allah Ta'ala alone. Subhanallahi amma yushrikun, Allah Ta'ala says thereafter, that Allah is perfect, Allah is pure from everything that they ascribe as a partner unto Allah, whether they worship another human being as a partner, or the son to Allah, or his daughters, or that they would attribute qualities that are specific to Allah to other than Allahu Azza wa Jal, or worshipping other of the creation of Allah as partners unto Allah, whether it is the sun, whether it is stone, whether it is idols, whether they are specific animals, whether it is the ocean, whether they are trees and mountains, ascribed as partners to Allah, Allah Ta'ala is pure of any of these. Furthermore, Allah Ta'ala says, Huwallah, He is that very same, that one great Allah, Al-Khaliq, who is the creator of everything in existence. Whatever we see around us, something as minute, as small, as the smallest ant species, 0.003 milligrams, or whether it is the huge oceans, whether it is the mountains, whether it is this entire universe, this planet, the Milky Way, the various planets, the sun, Allah is the creator of every single thing in existence. And furthermore, Allah is Al-Bari, the maker of all of these from non-existence. So Allah is the one who is the originator, the inventor. Allah is the one alone who has given everything existence when it had not existed before that. Al-Musawwir, Allah is the one who has fashioned everything in the most beautiful of shapes and appearances. What an amazing quality. We just look at human beings only. We know Allah's creation is so huge, so vast, that merely just in the ocean alone, as mentioned previously in the previous lessons, human being, insan, with all the technological advancement, acknowledges that we have only explored 5% of the ocean. 95% of the ocean is unexplored. In just one study over 10 years, thousands of new species unknown to human beings before that were discovered in that short space of time. So Allah Ta'ala is the one who is the most amazing giver of shapes, appearances. We happen to look around us, make the habit, look around us, the beautiful creation of Allah, and deduce His greatness. How many different species of birds we will see in our gardens. Look around on the ground, look at the ants. Allah has named the entire surah, the ant, the beautiful shape, appearance Allah has given to them, appropriate for their task and their manner of existence. So Allah Ta'ala is the giver of shapes. We take insan, human being, distinguished by different features, different shades, manifestation of the greatness of Allah, and they are not a means of distinguishing and making one person better than the other. Similarly, within insan, Allah has created the male in a specific way, created the female with specifics of beauty, of purpose, of existence. And then within one species itself, within one gender itself, everyone is distinguishable from the other in shape and appearance. No two human beings are exactly the same in all regards. This shows that the creator, the maker of them, is the one great Allah Ta'ala. Very important. So Allah is the giver of shapes, appearances, Therefore, in our Shariat, the making of pictures, the making of pictures of living beings is very, very severely spoken about. Our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, La'an Allahul Musawwirin, may Allah curse the one who makes images and pictures of living beings, because this is the special attribute of Allah Ta'ala. This is the special attribute of Allah Ta'ala. It is under this word in many tafsirs, among them Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah in his great tafsir Ma'ariful Quran, specifically alerts to this, the dislikability, the abhorrence of the making of pictures of living beings. Allah Ta'ala says further, Lahul Asma'ul Husna, that Allah, who is the possessor of all of these qualities, for Him are the most beautiful names we call and supplicate. Many are mentioned here at other junctures in the Quran Azim, in the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah is the possessor of these beautiful names. Supplicate, worship Allah by these names, make dua to Allah Ta'ala by these names. Furthermore, Allah Ta'ala says, يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that all of the creation, whether in the skies, whether in the earth, in this huge and amazing system around us, every one of the creation makes tasbih, mentions the purity of Allah Ta'ala. So one meaning is that the very existence and the way Allah has fashioned and created them, exact symmetry for the purpose for which Allah has created them, that in itself is a tasbih. You look at it, you see the symmetry of creation, you see the perfection of that creation, how amazing Allah has created it for that purpose in which it functions. That in itself is a tasbih, is a praise of the Maker and the Creator, Allah Ta'ala. Second meaning given of such verses is that all of the creation, in a manner to most human beings not understandable, they also make tasbih. Allah Ta'ala says Himself, وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ, that everything in the creation of Allah mentions His purity, His tasbih, and His praises. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ, but you, O insan, are unable to fathom and understand the manner of tasbih. Those select individuals, Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah had given them in some way the comprehension of the manner of tasbih. Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam specifically, the Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam, Dawood alayhi salam, Allah had given them the means of comprehending some of the speech of the various creation of Allah Ta'ala. So when everything else makes tasbih, O insan, why are you not doing so? You are the most virtuous of Allah's creation if you worship Him, and you become the worst of creation if you are not recognizing Allah and worshipping that one Allah Ta'ala. So we also, in emulation of this, we learn one form of dhikr of Allah, very, very short, but extremely beneficial. The person who says, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, mentioning Allah's purity and His praises, like all of Allah's creation does, Subhanallah wa bihamdi 100 times, Allah forgives our sins, even though they may be as vast as the foam in the ocean. Nobody will come with anything better on the day of Qiyamah than one who had read these words in the same amount or more than that person. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, on his deathbed, 1050 years lifespan Allah gave him, many great advices imparted to his son after a life of such experience. And one of those advices, he emphasizes the reading of these words as dhikr, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, saying to his sons that these are the words by which all of Allah's creation glorify and praise Allah. So the trees, the plants, the animals, the birds around us praise, glorify Allah in these words, Subhanallah wa bihamdi. And he also says, wa bihi turzaqul khalaiq, it is the barakat of these words, the greatness that Allah Ta'ala by their barakah and blessings feeds His creation, gives rizq to His creation. So these great words, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, we try and read them at least 100 times on a daily basis. There is an additional amount of words on these that has even further virtue. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, and we add on Subhanallah al-Azim. About these two kalimas, our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says three things. Habibatani ila ar-Rahman, extremely beloved to Allah. By reading these words, we get linked to Allah Ta'ala's love. Khafifatani ala al-lisan, very light, easy to read, short, brief words. Wallah, we read this, will not take us more than 5 minutes. And at the same time, whereas light and easy on the tongue, very brief, thaqilatani fil mizan, will weigh extremely heavily on the scale of good deeds. Wahuwa al-azizul hakim, furthermore Allah Ta'ala says in the concluding words, Allah alone is the one who is the Almighty. Nothing can ever overpower Allah Ta'ala, al-hakim. Allah Ta'ala in His every decision, every matter, every affair, It is filled with his abundance and innumerable and limitless wisdom. Many times we understand and fathom the wisdom behind Allah Ta'ala's decisions and decrees, but insan and our intellect, as much as it may be, it is fallible, it has its limits. Allah's wahi and revelation extends far beyond the human fallibility of mind. So this word Hakim teaches us that in everything that happens around us, there is the perfect wisdom of Allah Ta'ala in it. We resign ourselves to Allah Ta'ala's decree and His will. And in that, if it is favorable circumstances, we make shukr. Challenging situations, we accept it is Allah Ta'ala's will through His great wisdom. Use that difficulty to draw closer to Allah, so that apparent difficulty was actually Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and mercy. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to take the benefits of these words, to try and read it. As mentioned at the outset, daily. A'udhu billahi sameel alim min ash-shaytanir rajim thrice. And these words, huwa Allahu alladhi, to the ending. And what a great time we have, the Mubarak month of Ramadan. We have read Rahman and Rahim. Allah Ta'ala in this month forgives in great abundance. Allah Ta'ala's mercy comes down in showers and in torrents. That is why our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when ascending the mimbar, said Ameen to three curses uttered by Jibreel Alayhi Salaam, and one of them was that woe be to that person, Man adraka Ramadana falam yughfar lah. That person who finds the perfect opportunity of Ramadan 2 months before that. We make dua just to witness the great month of Ramadan. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Jibreel Alayhi Salaam said that woe be to that person who finds the perfect opportunity in the form of the month of Ramadan, and yet Ramadan comes and goes, and that person has not been granted maghfirah, then that person is blameworthy. May Allah Ta'ala guide us, protect us, to use every second of this most precious month of Ramadan in the most effective way. Inshallah, in the coming days, we will try and advise myself firstly and all of us about the greatness of the month of Ramadan, the special amal and actions in the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Allahu Azza wa Jal give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Continuing with the reading of Shauqi Watan, the desire for the Akhirah, the hadith that follows after the last one we had read yesterday, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, in this lengthy hadith, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدْنِي الْمُؤْمِنِ فَيَضَعُ عَلَيْهِ كَنَفَهُ وَيَسْتُرَهُ. Now yesterday, we are looking at the chapter, the comfort and ease that Allah will give to the people of Iman in Mahshar, in the plains of resurrection, when we are brought back to life, what honor and esteem Allah Ta'ala will give. So the fourth hadith in this chapter, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, at the time of reckoning, Allah Ta'ala will bring one of his servants, a believer, close to him under the cover of his protection, and Allah will hide him from creation. So it will be a discussion between Allah and his banda, between Allah and his servant. Allah will say to the servant of his, because Allah will want to conceal and honor him, Allah will say to the servant, do you remember such and such a sin that you had committed? The person will have no choice but to reply, yes, my Rabb, I acknowledge these various sins that he will see written in front of him. He will confess all his sins and then in his mind say to himself, problems, now I'm doomed. Allah Ta'ala will say, Subhanallah, look at how merciful Allah Ta'ala is, how forgiving Allah Ta'ala is. Draw from these treasures of mercy and forgiveness in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. There will never be a better chance. So Allah Ta'ala will say to the servant of his, I have hidden those sins for you in the world. That in the world when you committed these sins, I put a parda, I put a veil over them and covered them from creation. I guarded and protected your dignity by not exposing your sins and your faults. So in dunya, I concealed and covered them. And one means by which we can attain this is to cover the sins and faults of others. Man satara musliman satarahu Allah fi dunya wal akhirah. The one who conceals and covers the faults and sins of another person, unless obviously it is such a wrong that has adverse effects that would harm others spiritually, physically, then obviously it is a duty and responsibility to warn people against that. But under normal circumstances, human, insan, in insan weakness, the one who conceals the faults and sins of another person, and let us be very, very wary when it comes to social media, cell phone, any message we get, send it off immediately. There will be answerability, we will be questioned about this. It suffices for a mu'min to be considered a great liar to merely relay and convey unto others what we have heard. There is no need to do so, it does not pertain to us, so leave the matter as be. And if there is a need for passing it on, then verify. Be absolute certain before passing it onwards. So that person who conceals and covers the faults and weaknesses and sins of others, subhanallah, Allah will cover that person's sins and weaknesses in this dunya as well as in akhirat. So Allah will say, in dunya, I conceal them for you. And today, what do I do? Allah Ta'ala will say to this banda and servant in this private conversation, today, I forgive you those very same sins. And then that person will be given the book of good deeds where those sins will have been removed from that account. Subhanallah, may Allah conceal our sins and forgive in dunya and akhirat. The narration that follows Sayyidina Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala reports that he once came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, please inform me who will have the strength to remain standing on the day of Qiyamah, that in the Quran some places it is termed as a day equivalent to 50,000 years. Another ayah, alfa sanatin, equivalent to 1,000 years. So who will have the power to stand for that length which is equated to 1,000 or 50,000 years? So how will a person stand on such a long day? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and here the barakah, the blessings of iman. A mu'min should have a yearning, a desire for death, for the akhirat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that that lengthy day will be made light and easy for a mu'min, for a believer, until Allah Ta'ala will make it easy and light for a mu'min, until it becomes for that believer just like the duration of a fard salah. Allah will make the entire lengthy day of Qiyamah for a mu'min will seem very, very short. It will seem like that time it takes merely to perform a fard salah. And this is natural. You have good times, then we know time flies. We say time flies. I don't know where it's gone to in these good times. Difficult moments and times seems the minutes and seconds do not tick away quick enough. So because a mu'min will be in comfort and peace, for a mu'min the entire day of Qiyamah will feel like the time it took to perform a fard salah. It is stated in a narration that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked regarding the day, the length of which will be 50,000 years. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the same reply, that that lengthy day for a mu'min will be merely like the time of a farad salah. So this being extremely lengthy will be in the case of disbelievers. The hadith that follows thereafter, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my hawd, my great pond, we've spoken about this, inna atayna kal-kawthar. So my great pond on the plains of Qiyamah will be very wide, wider than the distance between the two cities, Ayla and Aden, which is in the lands of Palestine and the other in Yemen. Such a huge distance, so big will be the pond. The huge pond can be equated to what we can easily understand like a huge lake. It will be whiter than ice, its water, and the water will be sweeter than honey and milk. Its utensils from which the believers will drink will be more numerous than the stars that you see in the night sky. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, however, some people will come and want to drink. I will turn away strangers from there in the same manner a person turns away strange camels from his pond. The people inquired that at that point, when you are the master of this great hawd on the plains of Qiyamah, will you recognize us, your ummatis, your followers on that day? So, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how would you recognize who is of your ummah and your followers? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes, you will have a sign which no other ummah will possess. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummatis will have a distinctive sign because of a special action in this dunya. What is that sign through which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will recognize his ummatis on the day of Qiyamah? You will come to me in such a state that your faces, hands and feet will glitter, will shine due to the effects of wudu. غُرَّمْ مُحَجَّلِينَ مِنْ آثَارِ الْوُضُوْ. Subhanallah, wudu, such a great amal. And in this time, we know the pandemic, the virus, or the epidemic and the virus, that people have great fear. We should fear Allah just as a person fears the virus. More fearful should we be towards sin, towards haram, to incurring the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. Yes, we adopt all the necessary means. Our deen teaches us, adopt the means, and then place our total dependency and trust on Allah Azza wa Jal alone. So, one, our deen, every amal in our deen has great wisdom. How many a non-Muslim we have interacted with in recent days when knowing about the aspect of wudu, of how many times a believer washes hands in the day when waking up in the morning, before meals, after meals, so many instances in wudu alone, how many times our hands are washed. that this deen has great hikmah, has great wisdom, teaches the absolutely highest characteristics and qualities. So the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be recognized by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How? By means of their faces, their hands and their feet shining because of the effects of wudu. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.